5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The First Lady dazzles on election night in a...
Tell me, what do you want me to do?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Good morning, folks. And your ears are not deceiving you. Today is May what? I have no idea. But today is the live show. I'm Jay Rao. And we're doing a very special edition of On a Need to Know Basis this morning, instead of the serious side. So sit back and enjoy. I'm going to turn the reins over to Mr. L to the E to the S. All the players are in the house. What's going on, brother? How are you doing?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to you and mine. Good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Mary Music. Good morning, Rodelia. Good morning, Momo B. Good morning, Rich Sister. Good morning, Kathleen. And good morning, my brother Hawk. And good morning, my brother Jerome.
The number is 347-850-1272. Let's bring in Miss Vanessa. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
I'm better. I've got my cup of coffee. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Nessa.
I need faces.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Okay, so to explain what's happening this morning, you know, being a dad, I have a daughter that's playing AAU basketball, so I am in Dallas, Texas this morning, about to go and enjoy some good basketball. So instead of doing the serious side, On a Need to Know Basis is a show that usually broadcasts after the serious side, so we're giving it an opportunity to go live this morning. Plus, it was going to be the Sunday morning roundtable anyway, where we, where our panelists bring in their topics and things to discuss. So, Mr. Elias, without any further ado, I'm going to pass the baton off to you. This is going to be fun. Jerome's free should be here. I tell you what we do. Let me tell you something. The reason why is because a lot of people get up and listen to this show. And so, you know, a lot, and I have to admit, the last, you know, 6 months or so, we have had, we have been inconsistent. We, you know, if I'm not available, then there's really no show. And that's not fair to people who really, you know, listen to this show. So, you know, we just have to make sure that we have something on the air for you. So, once again, the show is On a Need to Know Basis. It was going to be the Sunday morning roundtable anyway this morning. So I tell you what we can do. Let me see if I can send us to a quick break. Hopefully that'll give Mr. Jerome his free time to make it in the house. And if I can send us to a break, and then we'll hopefully he'll get here and we'll see what's going on. So in the meantime, in between time, like we always do during the normal show, we kind of mess around a little bit and talk about some things. Mr. Elias, man, what's on your mind this morning?
I actually, the Sunday morning roundtable, I want to talk about the debt ceiling and why we playing games with it. this getting to be kind of hairy, where they're talking about cutting stuff for poor people and Social Security and Medicare instead of imposing a tax for the rich and the wealthy. That if they posed a one-time 1% tax on the rich and wealthy, it would solve all our dang old problems. But hell,
right?
What they're talking about doing is increasing the spending debt for our military. Really?
Right.
Really?
Right.
Well, I would keep falling to the same damn trap. How much money does the military need? And how, you know? And now you're talking about even cutting the poor people even more. But hey, let's keep cutting the poor people and get the rich some more tax breaks because they need it. They definitely need it because they don't have enough millions and billions of dollars.
Right.
It's insane to me, man. It's just dumb.
It is insane. It's ridiculous. You're right. It is definitely insane. So what about you, Vanessa? What's on your mind this morning before we go to break?
You know what? I'm just so sick of them sending so much. I shouldn't say this. I'm so sick of them spending so much money over in Ukraine and helping them, but yet they want to cut stuff from Medicare. I'm like, really? Take care of your own people. And you know what? So you.
But those are two different. See, when you're, you know this. When you have government and you have different funding sources, so the two really don't correlate. But I see what you're saying. It's all coming from the federal government, but there are different entities within the government that have budgets. So that money's not really, huh?
I'm just saying I don't want anything taken away from me.
That's your phone. Your phone is breaking up. Your phone is breaking up.
Breaking up real, real bad. What I'm saying is,
pull the money from somewhere else so that you don't have to pull it from the people who have been working all of these years to get their Medicaid and their checks and stuff. You want to pull it from that source.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know it's two different budgets.
This is how when people don't understand how it works, this is what it's portrayed to the American people. So the American people saying, well, we're pulling all this money, we're helping Ukraine, but we're taking money from social services. And that's exactly what the Republicans want you to think. But, you know, true, in a sense, what you're saying is correct, because all of it comes from the federal government. It's just a matter of where it comes from. So they're trying to take money from people who really need the money, but they want to, like Mr. Elias said, they want to ramp up money for defense. Take money from defense. You know, take money from other entities instead of taking money from the social, you know, from the Social Security that a lot of people have worked for all their life to be able to rely on that in their golden years. So, I mean, I get it and I understand it. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to step out. We're going to take a break right now. I'm going to take this opportunity to say goodbye to you cats. You guys enjoy the show. We've been doing this for a long time. You're going to get some good conversation. I guess the show can kind of morph between the serious side and on a need-to-know basis. It was going to be Sunday morning roundtable anyway. So if it's the Sunday morning roundtable, Ms. Elias, you know you're on the clock, and we'll kind of go from there. So we'll step out, take a quick break, 347-850-1272.
Have a good day, Jay.
I would definitely do that, but I would definitely be checking in as much as I can. But you know how it is, and those gyms get as loud, and the game starts in 3 minutes, and I have 4 miles to walk. All right, we'll be right back after this. Don't you go anywhere.
You won't make it.
You said you won't make it.
Just shut up. I heard that. You. Bye.
Take some rain with my sunshine.
ladies and gentlemen, that was Janae A. Cole.
Those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. Beat them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today.
All those boys are much too much.
Online radio at its best.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Janae Akua, and that was Summertime 2020. And without any further ado, let's get into the show.
4, 3, 2, 1.
The First Lady dabbled on election night in a...
Tell me, what do you want me to do?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're into the heavy lifting of the show, and this is only need a very special edition and only need to know basis with our very own Jerome Esprit. So let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Jerome. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good and shocked at the moment. So I'm like, wait a minute.
That's what it is. Look, I just got thrown into my tattoo, brother. So he's like, let's do a special edition on the Need to Know basis. Because, you know, I usually don't wake up to like, man, maybe 10 minutes before the show so that I can get ready for the show. But, you know, I've seen the rest of us supposed to be doing the Sunday morning roundtable. And, you know, I had a topic prepared, but he said, hey, let's just do on the Need to Know basis. You know, let's just give Jerome Rich his due. I was like, all right, let's do it then. You know, Vanessa's on the line with us. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Hey, you know what we should do first? Let's do a segment of roundtable, and then let's go into news. Because I think the roundtable will buy me a little bit to get the news straight.
Okay. That works for me. And like I said, I started it off on the talk of the debt ceiling, man. I mean, you know, why are we playing games with this? And I don't understand. And to me, it's so easy to resolve. If nothing else, I was watching Jonathan Capehart, and he had a great point. He said, if nothing else, okay, you don't want to upset your rich donors and all this other stuff. Just a one-time 1% tax on the people that the wealthiest people and the people that are making all this money, a one-time, and he said that would give it everything. And he was 100% right. But instead, they're talking about increasing spending for military and talking about cutting the poorest people's benefits, man. I can't understand that. For me, how do you keep voting for this crap every time? How do you keep putting these same people back in office that are cutting your throats? And you can't tell me that you're making money off of this because the poorest people are getting hurt by this. And everybody's talking about this is an entitlement. No, it don't cost you nothing. It costs the government absolutely nothing for Social Security because that's some money that they're taking out of my check every week for Social Security. So why are you talking about cutting it? And Medicare and Medicaid, why are you talking about cutting the benefits for the poorest people? Why are you doing it? And then you look at the people that I'm making, because inflation ain't going down. So now you're talking about people that work at Walmart that are still on welfare because they can't make it without it. Because you're not paying livable wages. So now you're talking about even cutting that. But you ain't going to cut your million and your billionaire's friends because they pay you, hey, here's a couple $1 million for your campaign fund, wink, wink. And people keep voting these people in. They should be voting their asses out of office and not even thinking about it twice. Just get out. Don't play no games about that. Right? It irritates me, man. So that's what the one thing I'm talking about is the debt ceiling, man. Why are they holding the hot? And then people should be paying attention. Because if they default on this, and then as Biden said this morning, the 14th Amendment is still on the table. But they keep saying that's going to be a nuclear option.
Right.
Which, and,
yeah, they should change, they should just flat change that, you know, instead of saying, you know, that's not Congress's responsibility, even though they oversee the budget. That part of the responsibility of the president, the executive side, to pay its bills purely falls on the president, right? It's down, it falls on the executive side. So what happens in a legislative kind of way is that you have a responsibility. Like, so just think of it as any organization, a CEO or whomever. Somebody sets the budget, and you go to a different department and they order supplies, for example. Well, you don't say next year, well, we're not going to pay for the supplies that we already ordered. You can't do that. You have to let the executive side govern. And I forgot who put that in place so that Congress has the ability to raise its own credit limit. They shouldn't have ever done that. But the Republicans are out of their mind, is the moral of this story. At some point, people are just having to call it what it is. You know, they have to do something on their side just to be like, listen, we just can't keep going through this. And we just can't keep pacifying Republicans because, you know, there's a story out there now where people keep saying, hey, we should give Donald Dotard a chance and we should listen to his ideas and stuff. And it's like, you know, that guy tried to overthrow the government. You know that.
Right.
So
right.
Everybody who is asking just we should listen to him need to understand that they are part of the problem too. Right? You're letting certain people, you know, break rules, and then now you're saying, oh, we should listen to them. So your Republicans that, you know, Marjorie Taylor and all of those other fools, they're crazy. And so y'all need to you need to deal with your crazies. That is not our problem to actually pacify them. So that debt ceiling is you paying your bills. And so the United States absolutely love telling other countries what they should and should not do, but we won't pay our bills. We absolutely love that. Right? But it is, I know this is not going to be a popular thing for a Sunday morning, but it's kind of the pathology of white folks generally. Will make a rule for somebody else, but don't want to follow it themselves. Want a curtain. That's that whole Karen thing, right? They want to stand in front of the line and don't want you to complain. Like, they just kind of, we need to just deal with that and just say, hey, you know what? Just do the debt ceiling, pay your bills, and keep it moving. Because I wouldn't negotiate with Jack.
Why? You're holding it hostage with some dumb stuff. This is dumb. This is money that's already been allocated. Why?
Right.
This is dumb. It just irritates me, man. And people keep holding these same clowns back in.
You know what? Okay, so here's a solution to that problem. Just lie to them. Yep, we're cutting Medicare. Just lie to them. Because that's what they do. They sit there and lie and then do something different.
Yeah. Vanessa, what are your thoughts on this?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vanessa. I'm glad you were coming in late. My bad. I was stalling. Go ahead. My bad.
I've been here.
Oh, cool.
I guess I want to know, in and out this week, what is Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to get Biden and have his cabinet put out for? What is she talking about?
I don't know.
She's been dead.
She's saying that they need to be removed from the cabinet. Okay, y'all will hear about it because I saw it in the middle of the night and I was like, what is she talking about? She is so retarded. I just got issues with her.
Well, actually, I do know what it is. She's tried, since Trump was impeached twice, they want to get an impeachment on Joe Biden's record. That's all that is. Not that he did anything they just have the numbers that they said, hey, we should just impeach him in the House just to impeach him. It's like watching, what's that fool's name? The guy who allegedly had the molestation with the wrestling. He was a wrestling coach or something. What is his name?
Oh, Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan.
It's like Jim Jordan, right, where they're having hearings saying, oh, we got you, right? They're just making stuff up on the fly. So that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's trying to create something so that they have some talking points when it comes to Joe Biden. That's it. There's nothing else in there. So you can't believe her anyway.
Yeah.
And I think they're all distracting. I think they're all just distracting because they should be all prosecuted for the January 6th stuff. I think they're just distracting.
That's for sure. Because January 6th showed everybody what these people were about. And, you know, every time you can sit there and say it's like a normal walk in the park and all this other crap, come on.
I think they had some involvement in it.
Yeah.
Like letting people in and having them survey, you know, surveillance. I think they had a hand in it, honestly. So, Vanessa, to answer your question, I think that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene's thing is that they're just distracting.
What happened to the person, the congressperson on January 6th that opened to another meeting? What happened to that person?
That I don't
Nothing. Now, you know, the one that was blocking the door, I can't remember his name. I think it was the congressman from, I think it's New Jersey. He said, oh, it's nothing but a normal walk in the park. If you look at the video, same thing Tucker Carlson said. Yeah, okay. And then Donald Trump said that the woman that got shot was shot by a thug. When have you ever heard Donald Trump talking about police officers that thugs?
Right.
You don't hear that. This is the kind of stuff that they turn and say, hey, look, this is how we're going to be. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And you're going to like it and have nothing to say about it. It's insane to me. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. And I'm actually kind of tired of dealing with it. They need to be voted out of office, and we need to start all over again. And anytime you're paying, you should have term limits on everyone. That way, you can get rid of the corruption. You get rid of it. But if you keep voting these people in office, and you should be exposed for whoever's giving you money. If it's dark money, you should be exposed for it.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they should. I think that their issue is that some people don't find them as a threat until, you know, you went ahead and got rid of, what was it? I forgot who the Supreme Court person was who was like, oh, we're not going to tort Roe versus Wade is settled law, and then get in there and overturn it. Like, they lie.
They do it all the time.
Right. So the trick is like, what are you going to do about that when people are doing that? Because I understand why people dislike Democrats, but at least Democrats will come at it honestly about what they're going to do. They're like, here's what we want to do, and they keep pushing towards it. Republicans will lie to you in your face and do something totally different tomorrow.
and have no conscience about it.
And then act as if you should ignore it. Remember, I was during Obama's time. They did something, and then they were like, we need to move on. It's like, you can't just do something to people, like get rid of their Social Security and be like, well, we can't blame, you know, we're not going to take the blame for that. We need to move on. You can't just do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what they'll do. And then people have short memory terms, and then they're like, oh, we didn't do that, you know. And it's like when they did Supreme Court justices, you know, it's say he got 10 months in office. What?
Yeah.
Donald Trump had 2 months in office, and they're like, we can still do it. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'd say it probably would be a slight constitutional, not even a constitutional crisis. I think Trump had enough of those. I think that they would have to change how they're doing business if they just, if the executive, because he can just flat out order them to pay the bills. Like, what are they going to do to the president? That, like, they'll say, oh, we're going to impeach you because you decided to pay the bills? So,
right.
I mean, they'll try that, but it's not going to work. Right? So they need to just, if I was him or advising him, I would just tell him, you know what, just go ahead and pay him. Because it's more detrimental to the U.S. to have its interest rates go, and then that will spin us into a recession, which I think the Republicans want. And so they just want him to look bad. So whatever they can do, they're going to blame him for it. But they're trying to blackmail him is all that is.
I don't get it, man. I wish I could understand it. They put this and the bad part of it is Trump's debt ceiling. Right,
so my assistant brought me this article that says that Mike Nierman, who is 57 years old, a Republican senator from Oregon, was captured on surveillance video with the demonstrators. He was opening up the door for them.
Yeah.
And he finally got charged. He got charged.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Uh-huh. This article says that he was charged. Was charged on Friday in connection with the breach. This is a January article.
Oh, okay.
January article.
Okay. Yeah. But but also, there was someone who worked for one of the senators. Like, you know, because they had to sign some folks in that they were doing surveillance. So there were some of the senators in Congress, somebody in Congress, and I don't know if it was Jordan's office or someone else, but someone who worked for them helped coordinate with one of those folks that breached the Capitol. So that's what I was talking about. It's like, yeah, some people held the door open. Some other people, you know, who was the FBI agent who recently said that he didn't want to be a part of arresting somebody who broke the law because I forgot how he phrased it, but he believed in their cause. Of course, they stripped their security clearance, two of them, stripped their security clearance just for testifying with Jordan in that committee, saying that he was empathizing with the people who were breaking the law. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's, like I said, that's always a problem when you're dealing with people who are going to flat out lie to you, who's trying to overthrow the government, and then if they do it, then they'll be like, oh, y'all should believe in the government now because we got it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, look, there's Vanessa, you're 100% right. He probably opened the door up, but there's probably way more people involved in that thing than that. And they're not going to investigate themselves. So how do you so enthralled with a man that you're going to overturn the government? How do you become so enamored with somebody that you're going to overturn the government and you don't give a damn about anything but what you want, about how I got to put Trump back in office? Why is he such a powerful force, man? I don't get that. I'm still trying to understand that. I am. I don't know.
And actually, I don't think that he's that powerful because they're saying that he's still polling bad. He won't win. It's not that he can't win. He won't win, right? But that's where that crazy dude DeSantis comes in, you know. So, you know, the Republicans want him to step out of the way because you have, you know, DeSantis that's doing crazy stuff. You have that dude out there. But just for them wanting him is problematic to the rest of the country because I think who like the chaos.
And he's trying to raise black culture in Florida, period. Because he's getting rid of African American studies, but he ain't got rid of the white American, ain't got rid of teaching white American studies, ain't got rid of Asian American studies and Latin American studies, but he got rid of black American studies. He's trying to raise black folks, and he's letting you know, black folks say, I don't care about racism. This is what I want to do. And black folks still vote for. I don't understand how you vote for somebody who's trying to erase your history. And you won't teach history? Really? And you talk about critical race theory, and it's not even taught in high schools. But yet, still, you don't want to teach. You don't want your white kids to feel bad because what their ancestors did to us, and what they did to the indigenous people here. You know, you don't want to teach them that. And this is I'm just so sick of politics at this point in time, man, because it's like people don't get it. That look, man. You know, you gotta look and dump into down into it, man. If a Democrat is a bunch of crap, he's a bunch of crap. It is what it is. And then these people, the law and order people, yet still they put the Santos back in office. They voted him back in. And when you put him on the floor, that he got 13 charges against him.
Right.
And you put him back in office. You say, "Oh no, his vote is more important than the integrity."
Right.
It befuddles me, man.
Right. Yep. I agree. They're barking up the wrong tree, and they keep backing the wrong horse. But like I said, the issue is that we have to, as a country, start, you know, disregarding the Republican side. But the problem with, you know, even walking away from them is that more Republicans are joining the Democratic Party, which is making the Democrats more conservative. So that's also a problem.
Mm.
Right? So they're like, "Oh, I want to go over there with the cool kids." And it's like, you're crazy. That's how the Democratic Party switched anyway, is because, you know, the racist people were, you know, flop from one side to the other. So they were all Democrats, the racist folks, and then you know, the Republicans was there, and all the racist people came over to the Republican side, and now the Democrats became the cool kids again, and now they want to go back. I mean, we have obvious history about this, but, you know, it is something that I think that we always see a pendulum swing when people lose power. But one of the things that I will not worry about is even people like DeSantis trying to erase history, because they've been trying to erase history for a long time. And what are you going to do, ban the internet? I mean, the issue is now.
Yeah.
There's too much.
I'm just trying to make sense. Because it was vacation, like it was a transatlantic cruise. They're not about how we really.
Yeah. And that's your phone is breaking up bad, baby. Your phone is breaking up real bad.
Okay, you hear me? You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Let me hear you now.
Okay. They are really trying to change history by making it seem like black people came over here on a transatlantic cruise. Like it was our choice to come over here. That's how he's trying to change the history books, because they don't want these white kids to realize how they stole the country from the Indians, how they just, they don't want the kids to know who they really are. Yeah.
Right, but more than that, Vanessa, like, it's not, the transatlantic slave trade literally had only about 8% of people who were traveled here from Africa, right? I think the real problem is that when you get deeper, you'll find out that black people are native to North America. And that's going to be a little bit more problematic, because even, I think it was 1913 that they changed the classification. First of all, they changed the classification from Indians to coloreds, because they wanted everybody to be the same, and then they turned the colors Negroes. So they actually made the native people here black. The black people here, they changed their status from native to colored, so that now they have no claim of any of that land that black people sat on. So you want to talk about the whole Virginia area, you know, the Virginia, South Carolina, the black folks who are native, there are black natives in New York State. And I can't even think of the tribes names that were there. And what happened was once they started changing their classification, they started only using, you know, that for certain classes of people, because if black people took that kind of pride in being here and owning some of this land, they're going to want it back. They didn't want them to have, you know, any kind of reservation or any kind of claim to this land as well. That's why when you start going in the South and Oklahoma and all that, that's why all of those Native people look like white people, because they, at some point prior to that, they sold, I think they called them $5 or something, but they actually, you can claim Native heritage when they started trying to settle the West, and all you had to do is pay $5, and, you know, you can claim being Native. So white people started buying into
that. But you know what, Jerome? You know what, though? That's how you got light-skinned black people in the first place, and that's all over the world. But when Bobby and I travel, a lot of times, and I know this sounds weird, on some of the tours, like even St. Martin, we have seen the slave masters. We saw Bobby's family name all over the cemetery, and those, and that's how we got the last names in the first place, was from the slave masters. Because I said, why are all of these Haynes's in this cemetery dating way back to the 1915, 18 or whatever? And they said these were the slave masters, and that the name of the people came from the slave masters. So it's a lot of Bobby's people over there in St. Martin. And even when we just left Europe, my friends went to a grave site and saw a grave that was dated 1915. And some of those people were like slave masters and stuff. So it's far past Oklahoma.
Right. I'm saying they just changed everybody's identity, though, Vanessa. Like, they made them change their names. And so that doesn't mean that they're related.
They took the slave masters. A lot of them, they said, Jerome, I'm just telling you, they gave you their name.
No,
I know. They didn't, they gave, the slave masters gave the people their name when they sold them.
Right. Well,
it's the only thing about that is that we just like when we travel to go and see the story on the slave people. When we were in the Dutch Islands, the lady was showing us in November how the slaves took leaves and made a fence around so that people couldn't see off into their little area. And so we saw when I went to Nashville, I saw where 50 slaves slept in a room the size of my guest bathroom. So, I mean, these white people need to leave us alone. They do. They need to leave us alone. We done been through enough. And the history needs to be told. Yeah, the history needs to be told on this. Everywhere we go, we try to go and see it. Everywhere we go, we try to go and see something about the slaves or of how they treated us and where they shackled us. Everywhere we go, we really do. It's I don't know what it is about me and Bobby to do that.
Right, but you know, my point is I was just saying that we need to actually go back a little farther than that, and I think that's more of the problem. I don't think that, especially in this country, they don't care about people learning slave history. I don't think that's their thing. I think going back a little farther, even knowing the word Mexican referred to people who had African blood. That was not a term. So Mexico is actually named that. So whether you're Asian and black, whether you were whatever native was at that point, black, anybody who had black blood was called Mexican. So that's when they colonized Mexico and then called it Mexico, because it had all these people who had black ancestors. And we know the truth is that everybody has black ancestors, because everybody comes from black people. So white skin or dark skin doesn't matter, because black folks were in all shades to begin with. They weren't just dark. So all of those gene mutations that comes out of us are colors in our own spectrum. Remember, like, you cannot, under no circumstances, get black from white. White comes from black. And black is no color. So if you ever want to go that far into it, you can see that all the colors in the spectrum comes from black. It never comes from white, because white is the polar opposite of that when it comes down to color spectrum or even electro light spectrum stuff, you'll find that white is not a variation, or I'm sorry, everything is not a variation of white. And we've been taught that. We were like, hey, you have white, and then you add all these colors to it. It's the complete opposite, right? All of those colors come from black. So you're talking about changing education and how people think, and, oh, that's critical race theory, and that's controversial. It's not controversial. Because if you want to design a website and you go online, 00, red, black, red, blue, and green, 00000, which is no color, is black. So science tells us this. So every time you add a number or letter to any of those variations, FFFFFF is white. That's the extreme opposite of having no color. So everything comes from black. So I think that when we start teaching history, we should teach it from farther back. And I think that's where the fear is. Because once you realize that you're not the universe, then that's problematic. And I think that's what they're protecting. I don't think it's slave trade. Because if you make everybody believe that they're slaves, they're still subservient, and they're like, look what y'all did to us. But teaching the fact that, you know, you're not going to get spit off the planet no matter what you do is a whole different empowering kind of conversation. You know, you've been here for millions of years. So technically, all of these tricks that you played as far as, you know, redoing history and trying to make it look like you and all of that other stuff, that's not working. You have to go back farther, even to what we call the Dark Ages. There's no such thing as the Dark Ages. Why would you have history prior to that and then go 700 years without any history and then make it up again? You have history doing that 700 years. And rather, I think it's in fact, I actually know this. Hold on. Give me a second. And I want to say it's been 1751. This is in writings from Ben Franklin, 1751. Ben Franklin listed black nations on this earth as Spain, France, Italy, Russia, Sweden, Germany, and America. Ben Franklin said that those were black nations. But that's the history that's problematic. So if you want to Google and look that up, go back a little farther than the slave trade. Because they knew that those were all black nations. Even the Mayans were African. So that's one of those things that when you have white folks writing history who are liars and who are flat-out racist, and colonizers, of course, they write history to put people in subservient positions. And I don't know why nobody doesn't expect that. But once that happens, you know that you can't go back to their books. They literally tell you anything. What you could do is read Christopher Columbus, his writings, his diaries, and who he found when he came into the Caribbean. You can read Ben Franklin's personal writings that says that when he listed black nations as France, Italy, and Russia, when he listed those. So we're using people's own words. That's not us making this up as black folks. So when people start telling the truth, it's a harder pill to swallow for folks when even their people are saying that. They just want to start off from a certain spot that makes us subservient so that we keep perpetuating the same thing.
Okay, well, I think it's about time for us to take a break. I'm a little confused where these breaks are, so forgive me. Let's see if this is
right. Yeah, right. Take a moment of peace.
There you go. Yeah, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this, folks. So, Jerome, are you ready for the unconditional basis?
Yeah, we can do that or let Vanessa throw one out there. Before we go in.
Okay, Vanessa, do you have something you want to talk about, or you want to go on a need to know basis?
Nope. I'm just enjoying it.
Okay, well, we're going on a need to know basis right after this. Chiro. All right, we'll be right back after this, folks.
All right.
Online radio at its best.
something that you can't describe. It's the kind of love that stays with you until the day you die. She taught me little things like saying hello and thank you please, while scrubbing the floors on a bending knee.
We got the spirit, we're hot, we can't be stopped. We got the spirit, we're hot, we can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them, beat them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy, R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today.
All those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
Online radio at its best.
Tonight, right, days folks. After he was seen with his arms around Jordan Neely's neck in a deadly chokehold on a New York City subway, Danny O'Penny is possibly facing up to 15 years behind bars. The 24-year-old Marine Corps veteran in handcuffs after turning himself in just after 8 a.m. this morning.
He did so voluntarily and with the sort of dignity and integrity that is characteristic of his history of service to this grateful nation.
Prosecutors say they reviewed the disturbing video showing Penny choking Neely for at least 3 minutes on a subway train on May 1st and say at the point that the defendant releases his arm from Mr. Neely's neck, Mr. Neely appears to be unconscious. Penny was initially questioned and released without charges, setting off days of protests in the city, calling for his arrest. The incident highlighting issues of balancing caring for the vulnerable with concerns about public safety. Neely was known for impersonating Michael Jackson on the subway. He also suffered from mental illness and homelessness and was known to outreach workers as someone in dire need of help. And while police say Neely acted aggressively toward riders on the subway that day, sources tell ABC News that Penny was not specifically threatened by Neely. Attorneys for Neely's family criticizing the decision to charge Penny with manslaughter and not murder.
The consequences of manslaughter, too, is 5 to 15 years. Ask yourself, is that enough? Is that enough for someone who choked somebody out on the train and took their life? 5 to 15 years.
Daniel Penny did not enter a plea to that one count of second-degree manslaughter, but he is free tonight on a $100,000 bond. His lawyers say today's arraignment is the first step in a long process to get to the truth. At the end of that process, they say they fully expect Penny to be exonerated of all charges. The next hearing date is set for July 17th.
All right, folks, that's a clip from last week. I thought it was important to let it run because that shows you how white America treats black America. This man choked a man out, and he came in with integrity to take away this man's dignity and choke him out. But, you know, without any further
ado, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's get to the meat and potatoes of the show. And that's on a need-to-know basis with my main man, Mr. Jerome McBree. Jerome, the floor is yours, my brother. What are we talking about this week?
Okay, so, you know, there's a couple of things going on in the world, just a few. You know, the first human drug trial in the U.S. for a pill that reverses nuclear radiation poison will be on the market soon. So there's a clinical trial set to be carried out in, I don't know, Plymouth, Michigan. They're testing something out with Flint, with the water crisis, people poisoned from lead, all of this other stuff, but they're set a clinical trial to be carried out in Plymouth, Michigan. It was barely 2 days before the ex-Army chief warned that Russia could soon use nuclear weapons to Ukraine. Now, I don't know what that means, and I don't know what Plymouth is, but for people in Plymouth, that might want to ask some questions. Yeah.
Right.
First human drug trial.
Wow.
Now, if you don't know, speaking of history and critical race theory and all of that nonsense, here's the thing, and it's not, that's nonsense to actually call it that, because truth should be just truth. So it's not race theory. It is the truth. But do you know that the government put radiation in Similac just to see how it worked in the human body?
Yeah, I did know that.
Yeah. Radiation was put in Similac for children. So I'm actually a little scared to when they started talking about doing human trials. I don't know if people are volunteering for it or not, but you better be careful.
Have they ever volunteered for it?
They usually do. They usually get, you usually get volunteers or you're paid to do a trial, a drug trial. But since this is a national security thing, when you start talking about radiation, who knows? Who knows what kind of trials they're doing? But I'm sure they've done trials before, because there used to be radiation pills anyway. You know, for those of us who remember fallout shelters at our elementary school, I think they stored pills in case there was radiation contamination. So anyway, I'm not sure if they work, but apparently they're looking for new or creating new drugs for that. I mean, I guess the potency would wear off, right? So I would say use them in countries that actually are, you know, where was that? It was Russia that nuclear plant. It was in the Ukraine, Chernobyl, where it went down. So they could use those pills there. I'm sure they have some people who had slight radiation poisoning. All right. Now, even the World Health Organization is warning against artificial intelligence. And they say it's imperative that we pump the brakes on it. So in a statement published on Tuesday, the WHO, which is the World Health Organization, said it was enthusiastic about the appropriate use of potential AI, but had concerns over how it would be used to improve diagnostic care in the U.S. So if it's used for something specific, it's fine, but AI has already told you that it finds humans useless. So you have it start thinking about, you know, handling nuclear codes and stuff. AI might get rid of your butt just to get rid of you. You know. But and that's not the only thing. You know, ChatGPT has officially, or is officially, an iPhone app.
Really?
So that AI chatbot hit smartphones today. So it's spelling bad for phones. What'd you say?
Don't want no parts of it. I've seen a report on how people are keeping their phones, and they keep the Apple Pay on their phones and all this other stuff. I don't want to pay for nothing on my phone, because when your phone gets stolen, people are ripping your money off, man. So no.
Right. Yep. OpenAI is widely popular chat box is available on that app. And it's letting people know, it's letting people ask the chatbot questions using your voice, and, you know, they're saying that it's the beginning and end of other AIs, but I don't think so. But the inventor of ChatGPT, this Sam Altman, he admits that AI could cause sufficient harm to the world, as he testified in front of Congress. And he said
that
OpenAI CEO Sam Altman is defending his ChatGPT system to Congress, but he claimed that AI could be a printing press moment. Like, it could be good, but it could cause significant harm, just regular AI could. So they said that, you know, the companies need to work with lawmakers, but you can't work with the Republicans. Like, we just talked about that. Work with them nuts. You don't know what AI would do to you if they had their way with it. Can you imagine?
I'm actually worried about the election, man. what's going to go on with the election this year, man, with all the misinformation and all this other stuff that's going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to have a bunch of misinformation. You know, I read websites with a lot of conservative companies, from a lot of conservative companies, and just the way they're framing, you know, Joe Biden and he is not going to make it and blah, blah, blah. They're wishing illness on that man. And if you keep saying it enough, people start looking at him and be like, yeah, right. So it's like a self-fulfilling thing. Those guys know what they're doing. So if you had an AI that was doing the same thing, you'd be like, oh, that's not Joe Biden. It's a clone. Right? Like they would start throwing out there and people would start believing it. So you have to really watch AI systems, because they know how powerful information is, because we don't sift information well right now, right? It's a part of our conversation. That's why Vanessa and I, we're not arguing, but that's the point that I always kind of make, is that our history does not begin at slavery, because if we do begin it, if we do start there, it gives the people who are colonizing you and oppressing you the upper hand of making you feel like you were subordinate to someone. You weren't subordinate to anyone. The problem is with slavery is that we trusted white folks not to do something that they actually did. And I think that's where critical race theory kicks in, is that people like DeSantis and those guys don't want to hear how evil white folks have been to other people on this planet. So history sounds bad, but just don't be them. If white folks, if you have some guilt, don't be them. That's the only thing I can tell you. But history tells you that Hitler was not the worst person on this planet. And, by the way, send Joe comments to comments, because we're just going to throw it away. Jay's going to have his inbox filled. But Hitler wasn't the worst person on this planet. King Leopold, like, I think he killed something like 100 million Africans.
Yes.
King of Belgium. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if he's not looked at worse than Hitler, who, you know, obviously is evil as hell, but if you're not, if you can't look at Leopold, nobody looks at Belgium like they were Germany, but you should.
Right.
They have some amends to make themselves.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I read that story about him. I was like, damn. He didn't give a damn about nobody. He just killed people.
Yeah, they used to, so if you wouldn't work or something, they would cut a limb off first, and, you know, so there's a lot of people who had, like, you know, their hand cut off or their wrist cut off. It wasn't because they stole or anything. It was because they were trying to get people to work in slave labor. So your humanity has to suck really bad for you to think that that was okay. So that's something that we always have to remember when it comes down to history, is that history does not have to make you upset, but history does have to, you know, do something to make your awareness a little bit different. You know, I spoke at a retreat for this university students. I was going to a retreat with them, and one of the things that I kind of talked to them about is a little bit of history. And I know that, you know, you have to understand that school, whether it is elementary, junior high, high school, or college, school is programming you to think a certain way, because that's what it was built for. I think it was John D. Rockefeller that says that, I think it was their foundation that was requiring everybody to go to school, because they thought that there would be better workers and they didn't want free thinkers. When you think about something like Chat, GPT, and all this other AI, AI is terribly flawed because it's taking data and information from those people who were lying and all of this other stuff, and it's using that data to make judgments. So I tell most black folks that I know to never put information into AI, because it does not actually understand black people if it's looking at it through the eyes of white people. They're always going to make bad decisions. That was just my little advice for who think about adding to it Because that's the big push, is to say, what do we need to do to get people adding data to make AI smarter? And I say to black folks, do not make AI smarter about you, because white folks don't know you right now.
Right.
That's why they really don't have that much empathy. So if they're, if AI is only taking data that exists that was written by people who don't know you, then AI knows nothing either. Don't ever fear AI because of that. It will always be limited because it's suspected it's going to be bad. Now, NAACP president, I know we kind of talked about this a little bit, but the NAACP president and CEO, Derek Johnson, said that put an advisory out for people not to go to Florida, a travel advisory.
He said that
it's a direct response to their governor's aggressive attempts to erase black history and to restrict diversity, equality, and inclusion programs in Florida schools. So on Saturday, he issued an advisory to not travel to Florida. And so here's the thing that's funny with this, is that I can't remember, this was during Trump's time, but I don't know if it was a Super Bowl or an event that Florida was doing, and people were changing their conferences and stuff away from them. And they said, oh, we'll change our policies back. I think that company
that
to Florida.
Man, that was Atlanta.
Where was it?
Atlanta.
Was it Georgia? Yeah.
Yep, it was Georgia. And they took the, it was like a,
award.
Yeah.
Wasn't
it
award?
Like that.
Yeah.
It was something of that nature. Yeah, they took it away from them. And I was like, yep, that's what they need to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is a way to get around that, to say, look, we're not taking this from you fools.
So, Jerome, I'm sitting over here laughing while you're talking about telling black people to boycott Florida because Tom Joyner got the cruise going on in Florida. He left yesterday.
You know what? And that would be on that in a minute.
So they got tons of black people for that. And then the next thing is they should be mad at fool. But wait. They should be mad at that fool because Disney then cut 2,000 jobs. And little children don't understand, we're not going to Florida. Well, why are we not going to Florida, Mama? Because of DeSantis. Well, who is that, Mama? I mean, Biff was sitting over here cracking up, laughing because he is an idiot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. They're not saying flat out boycott Florida. It's a travel advisory. So if you're going to do something, if you're going to go on a cruise, go on the cruise. But don't dump any money in Florida. If you have a convention, consider doing it someplace else. They're saying just it's a travel advisory. They're not saying boycott it yet, because there's a ton of black people in Florida. And if you know Florida, you know the black Seminoles or the Seminoles are black. It's what that word means. So Florida was not settled by white folks. The native people of Florida were black as well, even when the Spanish was there. So if anybody want to look at that, just go look up John Horse, and you'll see how that worked with the Seminoles. So a lot of free people who escaped other states ran to Florida because those folks did not play, you know. And that's where, you know, what is his name on the $20 bill? Andrew Jackson. That's where he got his fame from because they didn't want to honor the 40 acres and a mule and all that other stuff. And they went there and slaughtered people. It was Andrew Jackson that did that. But if you want to check out some history of Florida and you want to go back to the Seminoles and the Seminole tribe and all of those guys, that those were black folks that were, you know, when the Spanish pulled out, it was the place
I've been
that black.
I've been to Jackson before, Jerome. I've been to Jackson. I've been in his head.
I didn't hear you. You broke up a little bit. Say it again.
I said, I have seen Andrew Jackson's mansion with all those magnolia trees, black people planted, and I have seen his slave quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all interesting.
And I don't really even advocate for, like, destroying stuff like that. I just think that we need to stop putting it on a pedestal, like, that is something that we have to fear. That people have done some evil stuff, and we need to be reminded of the evil stuff that people do. I don't believe that I would encourage people to get married in a mansion. You know, I don't believe that Paula Deen was right in saying that she wanted to have a reunion with black servants and stuff. Like, that stuff
is
crazy.
Oh, my God.
Right?
But you know what, though, Jerome?
Crazy.
But when I saw it, but I went with my church. And so when I saw it, because the church, the pastor was doing a sermon and the choir was singing, and that was what we just. And you know what? We were kind of crying. And we were crying because we saw all the magnolia trees in a neat row and how beautiful it was, and we knew that the black people had done it. And we got to see where they lived, and we were just crying because it's so many black people that's out there hanging out, ain't doing nothing with their life. But we know black people are worth more than that because we've seen the mansions that black people have built with their hands, not white people. So, you know, sometimes it's, we need to go back and look at what our people did way back when and know that the kids now could do better than what they're doing, that some of them are doing, because a lot of them are making a lot of money. But they, some of them can do better. So I like seeing it, what the people from a long time ago, 100 years ago or whatever, has done. Because when you see those magnolia trees in a row, it's amazing to see it because the black people did it. What a white folks
yeah.
out planting no magnolia trees in a row.
Well, it wasn't.
So I don't know why DeSantos wants to get all of that stuff out of the book. That really bothers me about him. And it kind of bothers me about these statues and stuff that's being moved because I think those statues are a reminder as to where people came from. And so when you were playing that song, Les, and the song was talking about his mama was a maid and she cleaned houses. You know, I remember back to when Bobby and I were struggling and I had to go and help clean office buildings and stuff at night with my brother to be able to have extra money, and how I've cleaned white people's silver and houses and stuff like Molly Maid or whatever with a company I worked with in order to make it. So, but now these children, you tell them to do something like that, they'll look at you like, have you lost your mind? So sometimes these kids need to go back and look. Yeah, because when I was in college, didn't nobody pay for me to go to college? I had to try to get through as far as I could with college by doing whatever I needed to do and working wherever I needed to work. So sometimes, Jerome, I just think that our children need to look, stay unfocused on what it is now, and they need to know what our forefathers did to get us there. I bet you my daughter don't even know I cleaned houses and office buildings. I'm going to tell her that. Because I, when I heard it in that song you just played, Les, I said, you know what? I don't even think Jessica knows. I don't even think my daughter knows that I cleaned houses and that I cleaned office buildings at night. So I might need to have that conversation with her so she'll know, and maybe she'll appreciate what we've done to get her where she is. So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just had to drop that line off in there. I'm sorry.
You know, I was trying to think of the documentary. There's a documentary on some Aborigines Australians. And the thing that you said about, you know, people getting their life together is it's difficult kind of to take because that's a perspective, right? And so in that documentary, one of the Aborigines said that white folks keep telling them, you know, you need to stop drinking and gambling and getting your life together. And he goes, that's what freedom is. We choose not to. We choose not to integrate with y'all. So what, we drink, but you took all of our land, right, is what depression is. And so people are feeling certain kind of ways about being oppressed, and they handle it in various different ways. But I cannot, it was done by this black guy who is from England, and I cannot remember his name, but he interviewed Aborigines people in Australia. And it's a really good documentary. I'll try to find the name of it. But it made perfect sense that they were strong enough to not even take the criticism from white folks that they should be integrated into white folk society, because they were like, we should not. And however we choose to live, mind your business, is how they framed it. So that's such a thing. We always want everybody to do well, but it is really still stressful when it goes against your nature, when you know that something else is wrong. That's why right now we're coming into a greater awakening, and it's unnerving white folks so much that they're, you know, getting rid of abortion and doing all these things because their population is decreasing so rapidly. And they're getting scared. Yeah. Scared that the majority of people on this planet will have some kind of governance over them, and they're really scared of payback. But what they don't know, what white folks don't know, is that black people don't really consider them. Nobody wants payback. We don't really care. And I think that in their head, they can't wrap themselves, their head around the fact that payback. Yeah, I don't think that they understand that. And I can tell you, just from interacting with people, like, politically, and folks saying, oh, we need to have a curfew because of this and our children, I'm like, black people aren't concerned with you. I mean, I don't know what you're watching in Hollywood or what kind of images they're selling to you on the news that's trying to scare you, and the Republicans are like, look at what they're doing, and it's scaring your children. The reason that white kids sometimes are going wayward is because they're over simplifying black interaction and black culture. So everybody wants to do hip-hop now, and even white supremacists are doing hip-hop records, which is crazy and funny to me, right? Mm. So we have to look at the world different. And, again, it's the thing that Rockefeller did not want people to do is they don't like free thinkers, right? They want us to get inside the matrix and want us to just be worker bees, you know? Go to school, get a job, and work for somebody else. Don't create Jack. So you have to be really
careful. Yeah, when you mentioned that earlier, I thought about that. I was like, wow, that's the reason they wanted you to go to school. Is that I can't remember who it was. It was either Rockefeller or somebody like that. It was like, yeah, they make, you know, I don't want nobody getting smart. I want you to be dumb as you can be. If you go to school, get an education. That way you know how to at least read and work on stuff. Like, wow.
Yeah, I can't remember which Rockefeller it was, but it was a Rockefeller. John D., I think, was our governor of New York State, but there was a Rockefeller prior to him. But that was a quote, because it was from the Rockefeller Foundation that they kicked in and said, hey, everybody needs to go to school, and they made it a law. I mean, you can still get arrested if you don't send your child to school. But most people don't know that was put in from an industrialist that wanted a higher quality workforce. So they wanted everybody to go to school. Hence, you know, the university system is based on Göttingen University in Germany, which was created to make people think like white folks. Right? So that specifically wanted you to have perspective. So each university system is based off of the same university that want to give you the perspective of Europeans. So it's go ahead.
I got a nephew in high school, right? And this kid, he's a freshman. He plays baseball. Now, we went to his baseball game the other night, and man, listening to these kids talk, none of them are going to college to further their education. They're going straight into the workforce at 18. They're like, I don't want no more education. I'm going straight to out of the five teams that are graduating, only one is going to college. The rest of them are going straight into the workforce. I was like, wow, nobody's talking about starting their own thing or doing their own thing. They're going to work for somebody else. I thought that was pretty interesting. I was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. See, the problem is that the kids, and I remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember, when they started taking history out of school, right? Stopped doing, like, social studies. So they stopped brainwashing people, you know, George Washington chopped down the cherry tree stuff. And once they stopped doing that, these kids have become free from their perspective. That's where, you know, the DeSantis and those guys kick in, and whatever Texas governor is, like, that's where their ideology kicks in, because I think in Texas you have to take Texas history, right? Because programming somebody is really important when you're in school.
And
you have to keep
it
right.
Do you? Yeah. So you know, you do need to know the Alamo, but you need to know the Alamo from Texas side opposed from Mexican side, right? Like, you need to know it so that you look at the world in a certain perspective. And again, that's why we have such a problem now, or we don't really have the problem. The issue is that white folks have a problem that they are trying to put it back in the bag. So they're really upset that they're like, how come people don't love white folks? Like, they're really upset about that, but people aren't programmed the same because they took it out of school. You know, I'm not advocating for that, by the way. I'm just saying that if you want to know where that started, it started because with people not teaching history, then you're not having people think the same way. And so it's hard to get these people to want to have the fictitious American dream. Because it was like Malcolm X said, it was somebody else's nightmare, right?
Yeah.
Who's that? Gil Scott Herring, A White Man's Heaven is a Black Man's Hell. I think that was the song. But yeah. So it's a perspective. You know. And, you know, outside of that, I wanted to say that GM, by the way, didn't do the car stories, has recalled 700,000 SUVs in the U.S. due to potential deadly defects that prevent children's car seats from being strapped in security. So if you have a GM, they're saying they voluntarily issued a recall of their SUVs, and the problem came from the suppliers that didn't I guess they did a variation of powder coating that was applied to the anchors on the cars, and they don't secure. They probably just slipped off, but they don't secure car seats. Now, BMW has debuted their zero-emission yacht, you know, just in case you think about getting one, you and Vanessa, or Vanessa. On all these cruises, just in case you just think you just want to get a yacht, BMW has a zero-emission yacht that they debuted at the Cannes, the film festival, and it is complete with a voice-controlled, I don't know why, it's a 32-inch touchscreen display, and I know this is not a selling point, but it has a soundtrack from composer Hans Zimmer, whoever the heck he is.
Ooh.
They might as well have composer Dr. Dre on there for those of us like hip hop. But the new BMW Icon boat just showed up for their 76th Cannes Film Festival. I don't know why I'm promoting that, because again, who cares? But anyway, I just wanted to say that for those people who are thinking about having a boat. Now, New York City is thinking again. So you know how New Orleans, I forgot how much New Orleans sinks a year, but you know New Orleans is a big soup bowl, and that
yeah.
city has always. Have you ever been to New Orleans?
Yeah.
And Vanessa's probably been 2 billion times, but New Orleans, I remember. What'd you say, Vanessa? Did she say anything? Okay. So New Orleans. I remember going in there and coming across Lake Pontchartrain Way and going straight down. Like, you know, you could see the water above your head. It scared me when I was little. But anyway, it's constantly sinking, and they're pumping water out of New Orleans. But here's the thing with New York City. New York City is sinking under the weight of its skyscrapers. So scientists says that that poses a bigger threat to New York City than climate change. The city is sinking at a rate of 1 to 2 meters per year. Or, I'm sorry, millimeters.
Whoa.
Meters is a lot. 1 to 2 millimeters per year, and because of the skyscrapers. And, again, that may not sound bad, but different parts of New York City is dropping much faster. So with climate change and the sea rising and the city sinking, you know what this is going to mean.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So just in case, that's not just happening. And all of our coastal cities have to watch out for flooding, especially most of Florida. Florida was swampland to begin with. And, you know, New Orleans is built on sediment from the Mississippi. So that's why there's no solid ground in New Orleans. Yeah. It's a big soup bowl. And it's the sediment is just sediment from the Mississippi over, you know, hundreds of thousands of years just depositing in New Orleans. So it's not stable ground. There's no bedrock up under New Orleans. Or you have to go pretty far to hit bedrock. So, yeah. They probably should build New Orleans on a slab. We have a mall that's built near a lake, and since they couldn't hit any rock bottom near that lake, they built the mall on a slab, so it technically floats. I'm sure they didn't have that technology back New Orleans times, but you can do it. You can build something that floats a little bit. So in the earthquake, that's probably the safest place to be because it's not anchored to the ground. So that's bad. All right. Now, a teacher of the year in Southern California has been accused of having relations with a 16-year-old student in Southern California. It's the teacher of his kind at the same school in less than 10 years. So a California teacher...
Jerome, a teacher did what?
She slept with a student. That's what it is. So Tracy Vandal Hurst, I think, she's 38, has been arrested on allegations of engaged in sexual activity with a student. She was the teacher of the year of 2017. Here's what's really funny about white stories. I didn't even have to play black or white, but anytime a white person is accused of something, they always mention their accomplishments first, like a teacher of the year.
Yeah.
Some guy who was in the Marine killed somebody, right? Like, they mention their accomplishments first. And when they're black, they be like, this weed-smoking dude shot up something. Like, they do the negative for black people. But since she was teacher of the year, well, she slept with a student, so I don't know how that sways in your head whether she's should be forgiven or not. But I think she's like a mother of two. She has like a couple of kids, and you know, I know we get in trouble for this as guys, but when we think about, we don't think of teachers as objects like that. But these women are young to be sleeping with their students. They think they're replaying their own high school life, right? It was like, I was never able to get the cute guy in high school, but now I'm going back. It's really weird to see young women messing with students. All of my teachers were probably 90 when I was in elementary school. I'm just joking.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like,
nope.
Isn't that weird? We're not jealous. I'm just saying. We never thought of looking at our teachers that way. It's weird. Anyway. Sign of the times. I should play that Prince music as a bed, right? It's just a sign of the times. Now, they're saying that more workers than ever are using marijuana. And they're saying the rates of people smoking marijuana has spiked to 54% across industries over the past 5 years from a rate from 2.8% of workers. So it went from 2.8% to 54%. Man, I keep forgetting it for you to send that Nate Dogg clip. So they said 2.8% of their workers are testing positive for marijuana in 2018, and now it's 4.3% in 2022. People working in both the food service and accommodations industry, as well as the retail sector, are most likely to use cannabis in some form. Does that surprise you? Have you ever seen how customer service workers are treated. Somebody better smoke weed, like smoke something before they go to work to deal with these crazy people, right?
Look, man, I you know something, man? They told me they need people to go back to work, so they're paying some big money for you to go back to work to sit there and watch machines, man, right? So I signed up for it, but I had to take a drug test, man. So I was like, hey, I'll be back in a month.
They're like, well, let me, give me a minute and let me find some, go get some milk thistle, by the way, is what does that. Milk thistle cleans your system. Yes.
Okay.
You can get it in a tea form or a tincture, but it'll cleanse your liver, so that's where all of that stuff is sitting. But, you know, they do weed tests.
Send me that in a text message, bro.
I will do that. It's called Milk Thistle. It's a plant, so I will send that to you. But, yeah, it'll help with allergies. It'll help cleanse your liver for people who have, like, sinuses and stuff or hay fever or any kind of allergies like that. That's what you use. You only have to do it once a year. But 1 year I went into one of the nature food stores or something, and I was looking for Milk Thistle because I have hay fever. I have allergies. And the guy asked me, hey, do you lift weights? And I said, no. He goes, well, because a lot of bodybuilders come in here and get Milk Thistle because it cleans your blood so they can't check them and, you know, for drug testing. I didn't know they were using it for that, but I know it does clean your blood. So, yep, that's a known unknown in the bodybuilding world, apparently, that people actually use Milk Thistle to clean their blood. So we'll have to put that on our watch list.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
That's for sure.
Yep. Now, Spirit Airlines refused to let a family board from L.A. to Puerto Rico because their toddler didn't have a passport. Now,
did they know that Puerto Rico's an American?
I don't think so. I don't fly Spirit, but how dumb could you be to not know that that Puerto Rico is still in the United States?
Mm.
But they denied the
boarding. My brother, I got one better.
They wouldn't let, because a child, a baby, didn't have a passport. Nobody needs a passport. Nobody needs a passport.
The moral of the story is, don't fly Spirit Airlines.
My brother, I'm going to give you one better. Hertz denied a Puerto Rican citizen renting a car because they said they wouldn't accept a license from him because it wasn't a U.S. license.
They didn't have a green card?
Yeah, I'm like, Puerto Rico is in the United States. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. See? Again, you need to put civics and social studies back in school. You should at least learn geography. You should at least know.
You don't need a passport to go to Puerto Rico. Come on. Stop this.
There's something called the U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam. Those are still U.S. territories. You don't need a passport. Yeah. I don't know anybody who works for Spirit Airlines, but if you do, could you please send us a copy of your training manual? That's crazy. And just a slight. Yeah. There's airlines. I know it's cheap, but I think there's something about me and discount airlines. I can't really mess with them. I always hear, that's crazy that they wouldn't let a toddler on a plane. You know, I would ask Vanessa some crazy airline stories, but we're not going to do that to her. Today's church day. I want you cussing. So, anyway. Now, okay, speaking of that. So, this, a flight attendant from, what is it, KLM, which is, I guess they partner with Northwest KLM. This woman, Esther Sturris, she's 22, been a flight attendant since 2019. She revealed her routine when she goes into a hotel for the first time. that she checked for spy cameras. Now, that's a sign of the times, too, that when you go into hotels, you have to check for spy cameras. So she put up a TikTok video, which has almost 4 million views, and explained what she does, and she captioned her video, what I do when I come into a hotel room. And so she said she checked for hidden cameras. So she begins checking the mirrors in the bathroom. She does this by pressing against the glass to see if anything shows up. And if there's any, I don't know what this is, if there is a band in the glass. I don't know what that means, but you might have to watch her TikTok. She also checks the shower, the fire alarm edges, and she scans them with the light from her phone to see if there's a reflection back. You can do that to a mirror, too. There's no reflection, you know. There's something amiss. So she also says that she goes behind the curtains, looks inside the drawers and the television. But isn't that's a lot of work, boy, because there's reports of people being in Airbnb.
Comment
and,
on that, since I did that for 20 years.
You would do that, too, being on cruise ships, checking any room.
Let me tell you this. So first thing I do is, and I did that then, is sanitize. First thing I do is I wipe the remote control, the telephone, the dresser, the night switch, the water faucet, the toilet, stool, flusher. And then sometimes you don't get but 5 hours of sleep because your flights are delayed. I ain't got time to see who peeping through a hole to see me sleep or wipe my cootie or make up my face because I'm going to sleep in my makeup. So that flight attendant was just trying to do a TikTok video because the average flight attendant ain't got time to do that. And let's say that the flight attendant had 15, 18 hours in a city. Guess what that flight attendant is doing? Laying out her clothes for the next morning so she can either go drink, find a casino, or go shopping. Ain't nobody got time for that, so I don't believe none of that. None of that.
Wow.
We ain't got time for that. We don't have time for that. Because but so what? What are you doing in your room that you care if somebody is peeping in on you? What she needs to be doing is putting cans up to her door so if somebody's room key happens to fit her door and they don't walk in on her. That's what she needs to be doing is safety measures so can't nobody come in the middle of the night on her instead of worried about who peeping through a hole on her. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Okay, so, Vanessa, we often show our age and you showing yours because I'm telling you, we don't care. No, I'm just saying our generation don't give
don't
a rat.
Care.
She's 22, so she's like her feeling violated thing is a whole on a different level.
Oh my God!
I'm just saying because of technology, like they have technology things to worry about more than we did. But we're like,
and
hey.
I don't know why you make it seem like it was so long ago, Jerome. I've only been retired for 4 years.
No, I'm not saying that it's so long ago. I remember watching stuff where people who are Gen X, Gen Z, and there are different things that folks are used to or not used to. Like, we did not give a rat. Like,
give a rat.
Right. I'm just saying, like, our generation really does not care when it comes down to, like, when I went on a retreat with some college students, they were really asking me a bunch of questions, especially the males, because males right now are depressive. Young men are depressive because they have more things to worry about now than they ever have. So guys get called toxic for little crazy stuff. They're getting set up by people doing TikTok all day long. They can be called a toxic male for just telling some girl that she likes her or smiling at them or something. Like, they have more stuff that's going on. And I said to him, sorry I can't relate to this because if I like someone and I said hi to them and they looked at me crazy, I would not care. See, that's an age thing. Those guys are affected because of their self-esteem is tied into how people see them when you're young. And so I'm like, I can care less, right? You know, it's like we move a little bit differently when you're like, been there, done that. You know, we don't care.
Trust me.
So, yeah.
Dude, when I went to Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell this story real quick. I was in Vegas, and we went. Me and one of the partners went to a bar, right? And this young girl, she's talking trash to me. I'm talking a little trash back to her. So she said, okay, sir, how do you want your drink? You want it neat? I was like, nope. And then she says, well, how do you want it then? I said, well, if I don't want it neat, baby, I want it with ice in it. Wouldn't you say so? So she looked at me, and then me and my partner ordered some food, right? And then we ordered food before everybody else. And everybody else was getting their food. I was like, baby girl, what's going on with our food? She stood away from me, man. She stayed away from me. And you know what this woman said to me? She said, I don't like being around people that bully me. I was like,
right.
And I asked my partner, I said, hey, man, did I bully her? He's like, brother, no, you did not bully her. But
right.
He made the joke. He's like, hey, remember, he was the one that bullied you. Will you make my drink next time? I was like, you bastard.
Right.
But
it's because, it's because young girls get to be a little bit more sensitive than boys do, right? You feel bullied because somebody told you no. But you can look at a guy and be like, I don't want no broke man. That's not bullying to somebody who don't have no money, right? Like, they can't see the difference in that. So she has a job. She's working for tips probably. So technically, when someone asks you to do something, just serve them and be out. Like, because that's what you're server. And I'm not saying anybody has to be mean to you, but being overly sensitive, these guys are really overly sensitive to how they can throw a charge against you, like bullying, just by them having their feelings hurt. Having your feelings hurt is not being bullied. Because you don't have the right to say or treat anybody any kind of
way. I apologize. I was like, you know what? I said, look, baby girl, I apologize to you if you felt that way. I never want to feel that. I don't want anybody ever to feel bullied, but I apologize to you. And, you know, I'm good.
You know, in the words of Chris Tucker, I'd have been like, sit your sensitive ass down and get me another waitress. But, you know, again, the reality of us is that nobody goes out to arbitrarily demean anyone else. But for black folks, white folks sometimes have a tendency to get really sensitive towards it was your tone. Or it was, you know what I mean? So I think they need to own it. We have to stop apologizing to people for them being sensitive towards us. You know, one of the other people who was doing a seminar, he actually kind of talked about this with the students. And he said, when I was younger, when I was your age, I was really sensitive to white women's tears. He said, literally, if something happened, I'd be like, hey, are you good? You know, blah, blah, blah. He said, now he's a professor. And he's a doctor, teaches at a university. And he said, I don't do that anymore. He said, I can care less. He said he found himself, when he would tell the story about his own life, he would catch white females crying and be like, I feel so bad. He's like, why are you crying? Like, I can't pacify you for something that happened to me. So sometimes when it comes down to it, people feel like you're bullying them because they're in their feelings. And so we kind of have to change the narrative of that. I'm not saying that they should not feel like they feel. You have a right to feel any kind of way. But for us, we can't be apologizing for them feeling bad about their own feelings. You know, it's like we were just saying about talking about slavery and all this other stuff. The, you know, Republican folks are like, we don't want our kids to feel bad. Well, you hung people. You made them work. King Leopold cut off people's limbs. The pilgrims dug up Native Americans and ate them because they didn't have any food. Like, whatever it takes us to tell the truth is kind of your issue for the things that you've done. You might want to explain that to your children, that that's the lineage that you came from. But that's not our problem to make sure that you feel good about the dirt that you did. You know? Mm. So, yeah, that is always an issue. So, didn't mean to bring that down on a somber note or anything, but
it was cool, man. And I was like, okay, baby girl, you know, I was like, man, you felt bullied. I'm, I feel bad that you did, but I'm good. No, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's unfortunate that people are so overly sensitive towards it. And this is where that whole Democrat-Republican thing kind of falls apart for me, because the Republicans are acting as Democrats are too sensitive. And what we know is that it's Europeans that's too sensitive. So the Republicans are like flinging back because they feel some kind of way about hearing the truth. But they're blaming you for saying the truth. It's a weird construct, you know, for all of this. But anyway, you know, actually, I meant to cover these a couple of things. There's two things that was in court that I wanted to mention. American Airlines and JetBlue must end their partnership, according to a federal judge in Massachusetts who ruled on Friday, finding that the Northeast Alliance violates federal antitrust law. So after considering evidence that was presented through a month-long trial, it was a bench trial, is where you get the judge to rule opposed to having a jury. They had 24 witnesses, 3,600 pages of trial transcript, and 50 exhibits, and more than 2,700 pages of dispositions, and 17 witnesses, and they still lost, right?
Wow.
So, yeah, they said it violated the Sherman Act. I don't know what the Sherman Act is, but apparently JetBlue and American Airlines flying out of New York City would share the same route, so they would share cabin space. So I guess they probably kept the prices pretty high from flying out of New York City with those two. And they're saying the partnership has to artificially probably inflating prices. But so we broke that up, even though they're still two separate airlines, but their alliance started flying out of New York probably, you know, violated the Sherman Act, is what it says. So a federal court in Louisiana rejected a Jefferson Parish sheriff's argument that he cannot be personally held liable for the death of an autistic teenager who was suffocated by deputies outside of a laser tag center. So though he was not physically present at the scene of the 16-year-old's death, the Fifth Circuit has held that the police supervisors can be liable for the failure to adapt police policies and to supervise their or train their subordinates. Now, if that case goes to the Supreme Court, that will scare every police department in this country. Because when you get pulled over, you can ask for a supervisor, right? So you can have a regular patrolman, but it is your supervisor's responsibility or their supervisor's responsibility to know the law, not the patrolman. They're just guessing. That's why they keep asking questions. Where are you going? How long have you been out? Is this your car?
Because
they're trying to get you to incriminate yourself with some law that they know. But if you ask for a supervisor, the supervisor is like, you can't ask them questions like that. You have to have a reason for pulling somebody over. So it's your supervisor that's responsible. This federal court ruled that even though your supervisor is not physically present, that they are now liable for the failure for their subordinates to adapt policies. That is big. So hopefully that makes, you know, national news at some point to say, listen, we need to change our police policies because now we are being personally liable.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yep. Now, an Arkansas prosecutor and mother of two is accused of actively working to protect her pedophile uncle who committed hundreds of sex acts against a dozen of prepubescent girls. So Barry Walker, in October 2022, pled guilty to sexually abusing 31 young girls. And his niece, Jana Bradford, a prosecutor, is now named in a lawsuit alleging that she and others shielded him from prosecution. This is in Arkansas. I'd like to remind you, a
wow.
red state. No, I'm just joking. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Because
wow.
you know what? They're covering for each other. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you know, a CNBC female reporter, Hadley Gamble, whose affair with NBC Universal CEO Jeff Shell, who caused this exit from the network, has left the network. So she was 41, had an 11-year-old affair with this married guy, which ultimately led him to be ousted from the network.
Mm.
Jeez. Yeah, all of that stuff is going on behind the scenes of yours. This is CNBC. This is, well, it's still NBC Universal, so. But she was a female reporter for CNBC. I'm not going to comment on that because I'm not going to get in trouble on a Sunday. I'm just going to let that go. All right. So now, if you have a $100,000 lying around someplace, there's this tiny West Texas town that has survived two powerful earthquakes is on the market. It is $100,000, less than the average price of a home in that same area. It has an old motel, a post office, a gas station, and a restaurant intact. It's located 130 miles southeast of El Paso, which is 57 miles away from the city of Marfa. Now, a ghost town.
And it's only 100 grand?
Lobo. Huh?
It's only 100,000?
It's only 100,000.
Wow.
So, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce, which has been reported in the news, have bought the most expensive property in California. It was like $200 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The escrow on something like that could have bought this little ghost town. And so I say, if I had that kind of loot, buy a small little town and build it up. Now, I can tell you, you're going to have to hire your own police department because if you build something like that up, somebody's going to try to take it. But anyway, that always makes me think about all the places in the United States that just have nobody in them. So if the Republicans are so scared of people coming over the border, send them to a ghost town. Like here, build it
up. Have you seen what's happening in Florida?
No.
The immigrant workers? Dude, all the building has stopped in Florida. All the fruit has stopped being picked in Florida. All the stuff is happening right now.
And
the migrants are like, since y'all said we're taking your jobs, and you can hear your jobs go. Take them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So, but now you're going to get mad. Remember the pandemic. People were complaining. And I remember Vanessa did, because Vanessa was like, we can't get any people who are service workers. Like, these restaurants can't hire. Like, that was a bad thing. And my response was, pay them more money. They're like, these people don't want to work. Like, they don't want to work for that little bit of money no more, because they have more options. So
right.
You want to change the condition on the ground, pay people more money. But,
do you know how many restaurants I go to now, and I'll see that, where it's like, okay, we're hiring. And people are like, man, you ain't making enough money, dog. So pay me some money.
Right, yeah. I think a lot of them still have that problem because, you know, people are finding bigger and better things to do. And I know the restaurant is complaining, but I look at it like this. Are you hiring for volume or for service quality? Because even if you go into a place like Costco's, the workers treat you a whole lot better than they would if you were in Walmart. The people at Costco's get paid a lot more money than Walmart employees.
Mm-hmm. They sure do.
So they're a lot more helpful. They're like, hey, what you need?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, a story that I didn't do last time was this father is sparking a little controversy in what they're calling fury, but I don't think it's that bad. After he revealed that he changed the name of his adopted son after 7 years when his wife got pregnant with his own biological child. So he changed the adopted child's name. Yes, he changed the adopted child's name so he wanted to give it to his own biological child. He said it was better to give his biological son the family name, and now they deleted the post that he put out there after he got a backlash.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, I don't even know what to think about that story. But I know we didn't talk about it before. We should do a whole series on right and wrong. Like, what do you think? Right or wrong that they acted this up. Yeah, yeah, that's kind of mean. The child had the name for 7 years.
Wow.
Like, no. I'm giving it to somebody else.
Wow.
You know, it... I know. I'm almost feeling bad for laughing at this. I'm like, I don't know how to feel about it. Like,
wow.
A lot of people have somebody's name that they were adopting to the family and changed their name. But that just almost means like they didn't vet him well enough before they let him adopt the child.
Really?
You know, that's what it sounds like to me. Now, research from the American Cancer Society has found that the death rate from cancer has fallen in all 435 congressional districts since the 90s. Amongst men, overall, the dip was from 20 to 45% in each district, and among women, it was down from 10 to 40%. So lung, colon, and breast cancer in women and prostate cancer in men has saw the sharpest decline. Is what the data is showing. So researchers said the figures are good news, and it just kind of shows that we have better treatment, I think. But the cities tend to see the greater improvement in cancer rate fatalities is in rural areas. So apparently there's more services in rural areas. Or the treatments are getting better.
Right.
You know, it reminds me of that Chris Rock joke that, you know, nobody's curing cancer. They're just getting you to live longer with it. You know, it's like most diseases. And I honestly can't help but be a little cynical to think that they're doing that on purpose. Because the profit is in the treatment and not in the cure.
Exactly. It's a full round robin if you think about it, because you think about the food that they give us, right? We call it cancer, and then all of a sudden you get to be treated for cancer, and everybody can talk crash about what's that clown's name? The Microsoft guy, Bill Gates. He's behind this.
So, why is that dude buying up farmland? Right.
Exactly. He's behind it.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to realize, man, it's a game if these people are playing with you, man. They're trying to, they don't give a damn if you get sick. They're hoping you get sick. I bet he'll eat the same food we do. I bet you that much.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting about that? Is just talking about the Rockefeller family and the Ford Foundation and all of these guys who are manipulate stuff from capitalism side. Like, we take pride in being capitalists in this country, and you'll find out the robber-bearing class is really doing harm to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it was the Rockefeller Foundation who created this, the general synopsis of our world wars, right? And in that, our history books are like, written off of, it uses that as a guide. But they took out all the companies that were profiting from the Germans, like Standard Oil, right, which is the Rockefellers. They were supplying oil to the German tanks and all of those. They used this refined diesel oil that was the Rockefellers' German subsidiary. So they're making all this money from the war. The Bush family, you know, George W. Bush's grandfather or something, ran a bank where the Germans was putting in New York City, where they were putting all their money in. IBM and, I mean, Siemens, who, you know, rail cars during the Holocaust, they were actually, you you know, using IBM cars to track how many people were going into those concentration camps. Like, they wiped out all of American companies that had something to do with the German success in killing all those people.
Wow.
That's
true.
Again, you're talking about critical race theory. People don't want you to know history. History is more problematic. And, you know, I think that's why they want to get rid of TikTok. If you've ever watched TikTok, TikTok has so many things that people are doing these clips about history, and they're showing articles and news articles and this and that. And I think Facebook would regulate that stuff and wipe it out and all these other platforms. I don't think they would allow it. But TikTok is allowing people the freedom to say some things that other platforms in the U.S. probably wouldn't do. So I think that's the real reason for getting rid of something like TikTok.
Right.
Is because, yeah, because you can get too much information from there. Now, an FBI investigation into more than a dozen police officers in Northern California community in a Northern California community revealed that texts referring to black people as circus monkeys and gorillas was prominent through like this this one particular police department. So documents released by investigators showed 17 officers in Antioch sending or receiving racist messages, including threats of violence against the city's own mayor, Lamar Thorpe, who is black. So Antioch officer John Ramirez wrote in a text on June 2020, as protests were erupting over the death of George Floyd, "I'll buy someone a prime rib dinner at the House of Prime Rib for 40 at the House of Prime Ribs to 40 that MF Thorpe," talking about killing the mayor of their town. And the phrase 40 is someone used for slang for a handgun, a 40 millimeter. So he was saying, if you kill the mayor, I'll buy somebody a prime dinner.
Yeah, I saw that story. Yes.
Yeah.
And then the mayor got upset. I didn't get it. He was like, hey, you want to bring it on? Bring it on. Oh, yeah, even at him.
We keep being surprised that we have all these police officers that hate black people. I'm like, I don't know what's surprising about this, but.
Hey, real quick, we got 10 seconds left. I don't know if this is going to cut off or not, because I don't know if you got this set up late, but.
Nope, we're out. We're out. That was it.
Okay.
That's all I had.
All right, man. Well, I'll see you next week, brother.
All right, see you guys next week. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, later.